Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, 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 yes. I'm sorry. First, we want to send a live, warm greetings and blessings on this
New Africa Monday with your guest host, Ismael Kadar, out there. Sending a beautiful blessing. We got out to a little delay this morning. You know, we apologize. We normally start our show at 6 on the dot every day. No, after Monday, we didn't deter too much. We have 15 minutes. Glad there's an increment. But we have a show today. I'm privileged and blessed to give you another good edition of New Africa Monday. And, We basically starting the show on a positive note, always positive. I'm going to send that out there. There's a lot of positive things coming on in the community, positive, great things happening. But I want to speak to you today about a couple issues, a couple of major issues, major developments. And we hopefully be blessed to have our brother who normally joins us, Mujahideen Muhammad. I'm filling in for Imam Alfred Muhammad today. And there's a lot to be discussed. There's a lot to be reported. There's issues in the mainstream media and immediate issues in our community. Both are very important. And as we get into New Africa Monday, I had a little dialogue that I wanted to discuss, a little outline. There was several danger question and event. Now, what's interesting about these questions and events that I had is New Africa. New Africa Monday, we had our brother Akhmed Majid came up here one time and he spoke about New Africa Monday. But we've been continuing this effort and we should be Africa Monday as not just one day, one simplified day. This is not one simplified day. This is a very important discussion. And I think I'm greeted by another brother. Do I have you on the New Africa Monday, my brother? Are you there? 401? Are you there, brother? Okay, so we get back to that, the brother or sister. We appreciate. Are you there? Okay. Well, we get enjoy. We appreciate your call. I'm sorry. I think I even made a mistake. I made a mistake in You gotta bear with us. We're having some real major delays today, so hopefully 401 you call back. You beat me up too much. That was a mistake. I tried to get you on the air, and actually the call dropped. Hopefully you'll call right back. Please call right back. That was a big mistake. We're having some big mistakes. I'm actually in the studio, and my engineer is going through. My engineer, I don't know this guy right here. Please, engineer, could you help? Could you fix this bed? Because you're dropping calls, all right? Please don't drop the no more calls. We need our callers. So I hope my caller will call back on New Africa Monday. But what I want to examine today, when we say Islam is freedom, justice, and equality, are we just talking? Is this lip service in today's time? You know, I want you to call in if you have any questions on that, or not questions, any responses, excuse me. We need some responses regarding to Islam is freedom, justice, equality. What did that mean to you? What did that mean to you guys out there that are listening in our audience, our honorable, noble audience? And also, when we talk about New Africa, Is it just a conceptualizing? Are you just conceptualizing, or do you actually believe that there will be, that you're not just will be, that you're actually adding to the development of this new Africa. Because we all should be playing a major role in this development, okay? So we want you to see that. That this, are you adding to this development, or is it just for you a concept? We want to be just conceptual people, okay? We want to have the establishment. So the New Africa Monday, we concentrate on establishment. We concentrate on community life. We concentrate on ethics. We concentrate on community issues, issues affecting community as of right now. We concentrate on bringing that together, bringing that situation in more reality and a real format. And we try to exchange. We bring the best on the show today. Like I said, I apologize again. We had some technical difficulties starting the show, and these difficulties actually stalled us a little bit, but there's many that don't want to see this actually happen. So we have to acknowledge that, too. We have to acknowledge that truth, too, that there's some that don't want us to have this great show and all type of strategies and schemes that come into play. But we want you to equally enjoy it. And anything, you know, any way we can improve or any, you know, just keep sending us mail. We enjoy the mail that we receive. We're getting a lot of mail from those who say how important the show is and bringing out what the name of the show. This is another edition of Religion Means Alive. Now, you know, most of us talk about religion. Many of us say what we mean, and we say we mean what we say. And a lot of us say we alive, but do we connect religion to being alive? And that's one of the concepts I want us to discuss. Many of us talk about religion means alive, but how many of us say that we know religion gives us life? And how many of us believe in New Africa? Now, if we believe in New Africa, what our great leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, had championed the vision, brought it forth. But this vision is not something that just the Imam, it rests solely on the Imam. Allah has given us a history. And in this history, we've been stripped of community life, we've been stripped of cultivation, we've been stripped of cheering each other on. We've been stripped of a neighborhood. We've been stripped of all these things that keep us in the life, in the progression of life. Now, it was the Imam's father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who championed, who rose and awakened. And it was those before even him, Frederick Douglass. But he awakened development, a monumental spirit. I like to say it was could be done from our loins. What can we can do as a, what we would be able to do as a people? Now the Imam furthered the cause, gave us the perception. He taught us the religion. Honorable Elijah Muhammad saved us, gave us the foundation, I'll call it. But that foundation was that allows us to move in the new ass to ourselves with a new perception and go in and establish a whole new world with that perception. But many of you, we sit back, we in the house, we watching, let's just use a joke, Maury Povich, or online, Facebook, maybe you're using the media tools and stuff. But how many of us are really using this time to establish ourselves independent? You know, many of you know we love them. We got respect for our country. We love it. We value our freedom. We value our rights. But we're so in love. We became so in love with certain principles that we forgot why we haven't come, why we haven't woken, why we awoken. And our duty should be to establish ourselves in this land. Our duty should be to be independent, to become independent thinkers. And that has been a real problem for the African American. Now, I don't know if you're paying attention to the media, but there's several issues out there, brothers and sisters. Several things that I like to discuss. I won't recall, last week we spoke a lot about Miss Raven Simone and that kind of issue. But that's a petty issue. That's actually a petty issue. Someone who doesn't have really much knowledge of self in today's time. It's just it's very sad. I'm saddened by it. But in the reality is one of the things I want to talk about, the principle I want to talk about today, is freedom, justice, and equality. We were taught in the Nation of Islam, we champion this cause through African-American community, black community, so-called Negro, all these things. We champion the call of Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. Now, if Islam is freedom, justice, and equality, what kind of Islam is it that is existing in today's neighborhood, in today's environment? First, we see abuse of freedom. We see, now, you know, you take the word freedom, a lot of people can also be free to be dumb. You can become so free that you was dumbed down by your freedom. So freedom has to be associated with a principle, correct? You can't be just free to wake up. You know, you wake up 10 o'clock p.m., 10 p.m. You know, you wake up every night and every day, you just eat food free, you know. Now, slavery, slave conditions, we weren't free to do that. We weren't free to do that, but we were definitely kept away from the educational system, the physical freedom, we was kept in bondage, and we were limited where we could go, where we could travel, kind of rights we had. And we also mentally, you know, schooled, physically, mental, excuse me, I mentioned the mental thing, but also the ability to work, economical freedom, land, the right to land, which is another physical freedom. But it's also a spiritual freedom, if you understand it correct. It touches our sensitivities. A spiritual freedom, ability to work, to exercise. So, yes, I'm sorry, but I see you call back on the line, too. My mistake to my call. Trying to get you online. I don't know what's going on with this 401. If I do, I'm trying to bring you back on. It's been a mistake, but I appreciate you listen to the broadcast. But anyway, the freedom that we're talking about has been a freedom that has been dulled out. So we say, with three things we say, freedom, justice, and equality. Freedom, justice, and equality. Now, I believe that in America, this is the biggest time where this three concepts are given in New Africa. And New Africa should be actually a cultivator of these, that thing. Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. Now, we see no freedom. Now, that freedom, remember I said freedom, you need responsibility. Because you can become so free that you are dumbed down by your own freedom, free to be dumb. So I'm free to walk to the refrigerator. I'm free to walk outside and go to the movie theaters. I'm free to go to a sports game. Well, these are all good things that most people exercise, but if you overindulge in these freedoms, you overindulge in this activity, you will find that in that situation, you will become dulled down. Dulled down. So we don't want to be free in just the activity of having freedom without exercising those three proponents, which was mental, physical, and spiritual. So even before we get into freedom, justice, and equality, we have to even exercise our freedom. So what is a physical freedom? Well, the physical freedom is not to be dependent on, you know, foods, certain foods we're eating right now, like one of the great brothers was talking about, went to a big conference, is talking about growing our own food, to not be weighed down by things we eat, not to be weighed having these cancers, and just living a life of just really toxic, you know, foods. And one of the great things of halal and our meat and our knowledge that comes with the halal is the ability not only to have the purification of foods and understand how to slaughter, but also the ability to pick your food and yourself to be free, to slaughter your own meat. Meat shouldn't just be made for you or manufactured. So that's a freedom that we see, eating, physical freedom to work our muscles out. But in that same context of physical freedom comes a mental freedom. You can't direct your body where to go or where it should, what the body should even do if it is not mentally fit to direct. So we see a lot of our youngsters going places, hurting people with their hands, and elders also, you know, yelling at their youngins or your youngsters, and making just all these physical movements because their mind is, their mental freedom is not being nourished. And often we see the physical freedom being overburdened. We see people who have sexual relations to a point where one man have 20 different babies, you know, 20 different babies, or a woman that has about 20 different relationships, you know, because of the feeding this physical need. Yet mentally we see so many of us of what they would used to call the mentally and spiritually dead. Well, it's a social, I'm here to tell you that it's a close relationship between the mentality and the spiritual. Matter of fact, the spiritually dead comes with a mentality most of the time. God talks about this mentality in Scripture. Those who don't believe mentally, their mind won't allow them to exhibit the belief. Where is this God? Where is different things that they claim? And to be mentally, spiritually dead. And we find in societies that had a spiritual nature which was dead, not like this broadcast is professing. The society was dead, so mentally they were dead, and now that they're coming alive. So that lives is a resurrection. That death is the death is also a limit. So we see. And also, with that freedom comes the spiritual, as I explained. So these are three concepts and proponents that are definitely... So it gets to my original question. Is the Muslim world amplifying or to be an example of that Islam is freedom, justice, and equality? Well, let's get to our next topic, justice. Now, you look at justice with the same... Now, every word I'm trying to show you, the first I'm showing you the bad connotation of the word freedom. Be free to be dumb, which is a sign in that, because you can be too free, not too free to exemplify to be free people, to be freed. But you got to have so much freedom that you're actually dumb. You dumb down by your own freedom. Because you don't have no responsibility. You don't have any direction. So freedom should serve a purpose. To be free should serve a purpose. God didn't make us with these muscles and hands and legs and alcohol, the intellect, to just be a jokers, to not have any community life, to not build New Africa, to not put together our mental ability, to not just be protesters, those who cry, who feels suffering. God has made us to be free. So we don't want to be just free to be dumb. All right? So our next quality is justice. Now, you know, to the naked eye, almost looks as just us. Just us and the same principle in the Quran, we call him Isa. European world, not just European world. I don't want to start that debate, but English, the word of English version of the historical scripture, the Bible. This scripture. This word Jesus, the connection. So with someone, the word Jesus, their son. So many that look like Jesus or look like the image of perception of that perception got justice. That perception got justice. That perception of those people marked their territory. We call it manifest destiny when you study American history. Those who came from the church, many of the church, those who study our church, the church doctrine, came here during this Columbus Day. I think it was very important to note yesterday. Excuse me, I said it was Monday, but we know it's Tuesday, actually. Tuesday. But coming into this reality, those who came to this country, many who had the liking of at just Jesus, that imagery, they got justice, but many other people didn't get justice. Even Christians. We were converted. Many of us would be into a system of Christianity. And we never got justice by that system. We never got education. We didn't get fairly treated in front of the law. So we asking this question on this New Africa Monday. Is Islam freedom, justice, and equality? Well, we were taught that it was freedom, justice, and equality. Now, those who call in late, I see the lines lighting up. We want to get into the first word, which was freedom. And the first word of freedom, we realize that we can be too free. Not in the sense of responsibility. You can never have enough freedom in growing and understanding and learning and being free before the God and being free to make decisions. But if we are not serving this responsibility, the word itself, we say we chopped it in half, and so to be free, free to be dumb, and which we see many in the masses of people really not free. You know, that is opposite of the word freedom. So don't think that that really is ever a sense. You know, if you become so dumbed down by your freedom, you're really enslaved. You're really enslaved to another principle because you're not really exercising the word, the principle of freedom. But we acknowledge that that's an important discovery. Now, when we go into that, we see that many in the Muslim world, we want to ask that question. Are they exemplifying freedom? We know the Quran is giving us great insight. It has given the world insight on the freedom of man, inherent rights, inherent needs, inherent responsibility, social building, social brotherhood, sisterhood. But let's look at it from the perspective of civilization, the perspective of civilization, and the comparison to the United States of America, who we know preserves a constitution that doctrine has that freedom, perhaps one of the biggest ingredient of that constitution is freedom. Okay? Like right to be free, the right to property, right to vote. These are all freedoms. And we know that they've studied, we played the lecture of Imam W.D. Muhammad, our leader, teacher, great leader, teacher, and not just with many of you out there, many making a mistake of saying that's our spiritual leader. No. Not just a spiritual leader. You know, when people put that term, there's a concept behind that, and that concept is to actually kill the leadership. Many times, the person is spiritually, he was a leader. So our leader definitely had spiritual, But Allah tells us in the Quran to say of the spiritual, you know little of. Many of us say we know the spirit, and this is the mistake many of the Christian doctrine from the church, theology, became into the spirit, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and, you know, spirit. You know, the spirit of Allah, God, for those who are Christian brothers, has created. He created the whole body. He created your whole body, but the spirit, he says, say that you know little of. So many of us see these schools that address spirit, express spirit. A lot of this is spooks, spookism. The two intelligence that we talk over and over to show that that Islam really came liberated was the rational life and the moral life. Of those two rakas that you make. And then really the doctrine in the church struggle with equality, struggle with rights. They weren't given a lot of those freedoms. So mentioned the king was, the Christians were seen as a spiritual body and looking for the Holy Ghost and how vows holy. They were being ignored great identities before Islam came into existence. There was a struggle. So we see the fight to even for America, which has been to leave this this struggle and come into the new life. And that struggle was the king owned all the land, the parcels of land. You know, most of the common workers could pay tribute to the king. They worked the land, the agriculture, but gave a portion of it always belonged to the king. And couldn't even earn. And you had to almost be like a saint-like person or someone connected to even own your own land and have your own crops. Before it was done to us, and we would be made scapegoats, this was done to the Europeans. The Europeans did it to each other. Check the history of Ireland and with Irish history in Europe against and the Anglo-Saxon. Let's check this history out. In Germania, at one point, Germans. There's a history that's hidden. They hiked, it's like to be hit, but I suggest you study it. Coming into after Christianity, I touched the continent and before. And you see many struggles of freedom. So this is not just based in our religion. We see many of the religions, many of the religions of the world struggle to get to this higher concept and identity of man. Now, when the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayers and peace be upon him, came, we see the world returning back to knowledge that not only was lost, but we see even greater knowledge, insight, which we call the Enlightenment era coming to existence, made others even go into their religion with a new insight. And we see finally in the 1700s, the common sense, the doctrine of, in America, Thomas Paine, others such as himself, talked about these freedoms and called it the common sense doctrine. Thomas Paine, and they called him a father of the Constitution. But this struggle for men, even though he is spiritually inclined, though he is in a church, he does go to a temple. He's being robbed in society, of even by his own leaders, from these movements. Not to be trusted. It is not his freedom is not to be trusted as a social unit, as a social order. Only a few can be trusted with those freedoms. Only a few, the king can be trusted with the land, and he's voted in, and he's watched thoroughly also. He's not just voted in and free to roam. So many times we see what we call a small group in control. And this is where debates. Now, the Muslim world, because this is what my broadcast is about, I'm just giving you a little bit of history as we go over this. We want to talk about what they took, what has happened to the Muslim world. And I'm not here to bash Muslims. I'm here to be honest. So we can show our perspective also. Because there's many schools of thought, the idea is pure, but there's many interpretations or even the idea. So you have to stand up with your idea because many other ideas have distracted the people. So we see that that freedom is something that has been fought, and it took the prophet, the last prophet, messenger of God, messenger of Allah, took that to bring out this element. Was he just sent to the Jews, or was he just sent to his people, which was the Quraysh? No, God said he was sent to all people. So this is even unique in many other prophets. Because some prophets, they were sent to a specific group. And I think that's important to note, that we don't contradict with many other groups to say that Jesus didn't exist or Moses didn't exist. We talk about the attributes of the prophet. And it has to be universally known that they had different assignments. Even though they shared the same universal vessel of ethics, upright, moral courage, strength, freedom, justice, and equality. They shared that. But we know that their missions have been different. And when I say different, not indifferent in the sense of contradicting each other or in contrast, we should, as Muslims or believers, should never feel that way. But we should see that with limited experience, man has had limited perception. So it's like you telling me about a stove in the 1300s, which was great, but we up to date. Now we need an example of today. So the more we travel to the future, the more the desire not only of the schemes increase, Satan and his schemes, but also we see the man and his type and his nature. There's so many. We say we started with one man, with Adam, and now look how many men, when you look out the window today or just go in a helicopter and see how many men are out there. So, and females, and mankind, you know, this is us as a group. So we know that this there's much to be said about that, but we know that we believe as Muslims that a prophet was the last prophet. He was the messenger of God, but the last prophet, messenger of Allah. And we believe that his example gives us a complete model. There's nothing left out in terms of even, I believe, if you study, most Christians as a nation would say, well, love, love, love. And we love that principle because it's in our religion also to love. But I have yet to find a Christian nation who doesn't have an army. You see? So don't believe that that war in this sense is exclusively given to the Muslim, because we don't believe in war. We believe in the right that every nation has to defend themselves. And if you look at most nations, even the ones who haven't had much wars, they have the right to defend themselves, so have an army, a standing army. I think every nation on earth, every civilization on earth has an army. So we don't think that is an exclusive right. When I say Prophet Muhammad was giving these things, that all humanity after he came to the world have taken off these rights. Not the right to attack, because Prophet Muhammad, before the Muslims, were given that right and instruction. He was in pure peace, and he stayed in peace, but he was in the peace in the sense of the Muslim world were fighting. There was a burden, and the God really built in the Quran to defend themselves. And perhaps you love a thing that's bad for you, you know. So it was a very difficult thing for many of the Muslims to give up their right. Leave their homes and possessions to defend themselves against pagans. And many of you Christian brothers and sisters should see the same, because we see many examples in the Bible of those who had difficulty in warriors. David slew Goliath. So this is not something that exclusively. Let's dispel these myths from the media. But I don't want to stay on a war thing, because also great prophet, pen is mightier than a sword.
So this is a great help for freedom and justice and equality. Now, is that just us, which we get into that? No, the pen, first of all, the pen writing sword does not just represent scholarship. Scholarship is great. It's important. But that's not the only example of the pen. The pen also is a contractual. It's a format. I mean, we've gone business. Most of us contracts. Our books, the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, are also stronger contracts. If you see them how I see them, you will understand that it's a contract. Now, it's not in the contract that we're selling something, but we are in a contract that once we believe this to be truth in our way of life, we believe that we have to follow the guidance. Now, we don't want to limit it to just become a contract instead of the holy book of the words of God. You don't want to say, oh, this is a contract, you know. But we shouldn't hold contracts. A lot of us hold contracts, you know, with you in boxing or you're into music or you buying a house or you have a student to go to school. You know, you always find writing behind anything you do. You'll find small writing that tells you the rules and applications of your deal. You know, you go to school, you might fight in school or do something, you may lose your money, you know. You say, why? Well, look, hey, you know, when you signed a student, there's no fighting out of school. You broke our rule. Or you have to go this. There's a rule or this behind everything in existence, right? If you're boxing, Floyd Mayweather, we know he's a good boxer, using him as an example of today's time, but one of the best for my favorite, to me, the best, and our prayers are with him during this time, is our brother Muhammad Ali. And when he boxed, you know, certain things that were said, and they were contractual. Had to promote his fight. He couldn't sit home and not promote the fight. And if he didn't promote the fight, he could be sued in the court of law. Now, I'm just giving you an example of how people who live by contracts live. Now, Muslims and Christians and Jews are saying in our book that we will be judged by our books. So many times with God, people don't see the results. People don't. We're looking for a man, or we're looking for some physical force. Or not. So we say, oh, you know, if God, there's those who are materialists who say, oh, if God exists, why can I get away with this on earth? Or why can I do that? Well, this is the beauty of belief and faith. We know that you'll be, not only I can show you, and I don't have time on this show, but I can show you many times we have what they call, some call karma, but we don't believe in just karma. We believe in a sense of justice. And what I explained, the law, his laws, every law has justice. The sun coming up this morning, that was justice. That gave us, that wasn't just for us, you know, but that gave justice to creation. And it was just gave us freedom, justice, and equality. He didn't, most humans may get lazy, you know, if they had responsible the sun or some concept, you know, it wouldn't even, probably wouldn't come up. So universally, we get injustice. Now, we know we'd be judged for our actions. So if you don't see your book in a serious sense of a contract, many people become wayward and, you know, lose focus. And do we find the Muslim world, do we find other people in the world losing focus? Yes. To the point where the Western world and others have made great distractions, have almost even hurt some of in the media in terms of what a Muslim is and what a Muslim life is. And this is why we have our own media. But at the same time, to be fair, Muslims in the world have not been standing by their book. And I'm here to say that on New Africa Monday. I'm here to say, yes, they haven't been living by a book. Evidence has even been that many of the just candidates in the presidential election and others have said that what we see is not Islam. Now, these people have been studying Islam for years, but they have said these are not Muslims. And they ask, why aren't these Muslims? Why aren't these Muslims? And they'll say, well, we know what's in the Quran. The Quran doesn't say do this and that and behave like this and bomb. And so when we get into the pen is mightier than the sword, we should take that home, brothers and sisters, and study that. That is encouraging us to have information. That is encouraging us to write, to read, to know our book. But it also is encouraging us to live a life of treaties, to live a life of contracts and peace. So when we see Prophet Muhammad, he wrote the first constitution. Medina was a city of light. Medina was a place where all humans could go and get justice if they lived with that obedient nature, not to destroy, not to be a destructive force, not to cause chaos. They got justice. You could be a Christian in Medina. You could be a Jew in Medina. So we should have a burden to be showing the world these things. That this is what was spread Islam mixed with the business. The business community is really what we see in Islam spreading Islam through the world. And what I'm seeing, too, it wasn't just what some of you so-called, we're trying to disrespect some big brothers and sisters out there, but it wasn't just saying, oh, I'm Muslim and I do business. No, that's not what exploited. It was the way the Muslims conducted themselves in business, the fair skills they got. You got justice when you dealt with a Muslim. His skill wasn't cheating you out of your worth or your weight. So when they saw that, when that motto was traveled, that motto was to be admired and sought out by those who were Muslim, and they converted. So this was let's revisit what the Imam said to us after he passed. He said this is one of the major things we have to study. Encourage our youth to study the rise of Islam in the world, the rise of Islam in America, and the life of Prophet Muhammad. All right? So we are connecting all those things on this broadcast because I think it's important in the media issue. This one is definitely for us to show, and we're almost finishing up. We're about to wrap it up. But the main concept of that justice that I'm talking about, that equality, that this rock and this constitutional, these Muslims who develop doctrine and agreements and inventions. You say you lie, reading hadith reports, not after the, what Quran, what report will they have after this one? You give me another report that's outside of the Quran and say, Muslims are not to come up with any invention. This is why you have to define. We have to ask that brother. That brother and sister should be asked to. We want clarity. The Quran shouldn't be the book that we take and we play around with. It gives us clarity. But your book, your report, should be something we should, actually in today's time, we should definitely put it on what we call a microscope. And we look at. And always look at it, if it's not in accord or agreement with the Quran or revelation or other, then we should look at it with a very suspicious eye. And we have to understand that the Quran itself is coming from revelation. So many of us who think we have the Quran, we really don't have the Quran. We don't compare it to revelation. We don't see where it's coming from revelation. Prophet Muhammad was seen as one who was not able, and I know it's going to hurt many of you, and I really don't like to get over this too much because a lot of Muslims are so sensitive. But I encourage you to really read, to really be what a Muslim is to be. And that is someone who is definitely seeks knowledge to the cradle to the grave. And you should understand that the Prophet did not have scriptural revelation. It was not of the scriptural
even mentions this in the Quran. We could go into that again, but I don't want to say do I believe he could read a night, because many of you would be so sensitive on that issue. But I do know for a fact that he was not up to scriptural knowledge. This is Prophet Muhammad's, when Iqra, he was not up to scripture, not even a hint in his life that he would be the one in scripture from his own people, himself. He had a perfect nature, but he was we provided the Quran. He wasn't talking about David or Solomon. Now, we see in those who were born into Judaic societies and prophets, Christ and others, going over and on, how there was hints of great leaders before the leader got to the scene, from especially Jews. The Jews had many leaders, many prophets. And these prophets were leaders of society. They weren't just prophets in the sense of having an office of prophethood. We see that they also influenced great kingships, or what they would call kingships or leaderships. I wouldn't just say kings, but had what we would, like in today's time, we would say a president, all right? David was given ability. He was anointed. He was Solomon also. So we would call these, in today's time, we would see these as presidents. So some would even agree, maybe had differences with the scripture and the revelation, revealing side, was still under that office and had hints. Now, when we look at the Arab, in this sense of the Prophet Muhammad, we don't see that really sense among the Arabs. We see that they even had many gods. They even denied the existence of one. So, lost. They were very lost. And so when we get into the concept now of freedom, justice, and equality, we're looking at what not only what the West took out of Islam, but also the mistakes of what the Muslim world took to be Islam after the Golden Age, and even prior in some cases. Things that they took to be Islam, and we find that we see many mistakes. So I ask the question again, I've been asking New Africa Monday. First thing, one of the first mistakes we're making in establishing New Africa is picking up somebody else's doctrine. We want freedom, justice, and equality. That is our school of thought, or what you would call our madhhab, right? Now, freedom, justice, equality, you want to go to the interview with Tony Brown, and your man clearly explained our own school of thought coming, and also his father taught him freedom, justice, and equality. Now, equality, because I talked about justice being just us, all these words, talked about freedom, to be free to be dumb. These are all the words in a bad connotation, right? Now, it's explained in a good connotation of what freedom is, and you should know it already. But freeing your mind, as well as not just your body, freeing your body from bondage and to have babies, but feeding your mind also. You feed your stomach, but freedom also to feed your mind. What's going on in the world? Reading your Quran. When you read, even make your prayer, you're supposed to read your book. Even in your prayer, you're reciting your book openly. So knowing your book, the pen is mightier than a sword. How are you going to get freedom if you don't understand what the agreement is? You don't understand what your constitution and it should be constituting, and you don't understand your universal law, your sun, moon, and stars. They mean something. The rivers, the streams, this is why your book is always encouraging to look at creation itself, the end, be. These things are production, great symbols of production. Look at it. Study it. Study it. Write about it. Write books about it, brothers and sisters. Publish it. We need that in New Africa. So we're going to leave this being spectator sport. This is not a spectator sport, this religion.
religion is not, you know, if you want to do that, you could go into many secret societies who have this knowledge. Read the Quran. And told a brother today, I said, the parable for me of what the Muslim world, including some of our people in America and here in America, is like somebody having, somebody giving us a sandwich, and this sandwich is supposed to be a roast beef sandwich. And we saying to ourselves, I want to know what a roast beef sandwich is. I want to eat a roast beef sandwich. And the person takes out all the roast beef, takes out all the beef, takes out most of the little, leaves you nothing with lettuce. And you eat from it, and you say, hey, this sandwich is good. It was great. So I ask you, okay, so you know what a roast beef sandwich tastes like? And you say, yeah, I know what a roast beef sandwich tastes like because I called it roast beef. But when in actuality, all you ate was a lettuce sandwich. Now, it might be good for you in some ways. That lettuce might be a great. But you ain't never taste no roast beef. And at the same time, these secret orders take out all the beef for themselves. And they're not getting the healthiness of it, the lettuce, missing the lettuce, missing some maybe even the bread. But they ain't eating the meat to the point where that meat makes you fat or sometimes overeat. So we see two dilemmas in society. They're overburdened with what they've stolen and can't do nothing but whisper it or be symbolic of the gesture. And then we have those who think they ate the meat to keep their protein up and falling out at certain times that they didn't have the meat. They ate the meat. And we don't want to overeat meat, but meat is also, I'm going to get into you in the right perspective. You know, meat is part of a diet also. There's many things in it. Halal meat. I know many of you become a vegan. But I'll get to that point. But just not even in the sense of health, in the sense of to say accurately, I ate a roast beef sandwich. You're lying to yourself. So when you have this religion and you let somebody else take the meat out of it and they left you with things, okay, it helped me not fornicate. It helped me not, steal money. That's great. That's great for your health. But don't think that you have what the Imam talked about, that only the purified ones could touch it. Now, the purity we're looking at is to be aiming, first of all, to care about your creation, like you care about yourself. You have to be aiming for humanity. Don't be reading it for your personal dispute, which is no problem. We know brothers have disputes. Go to the Quran for that. Can't tell you not to go, but I'm saying that's not should be your own only focus. Purity. So we want to change society to help our people. The Prophet was aiming in that way, changing his people, the condition. So when you don't do that, you're not really getting the meat. You're not getting those teachings. And I also told the brother, I said, isn't it a sign that during the Hajj that we don't just pick bananas? You know, we have to actually, during the Hajj, complete that by the slaughter of the meat. Now, I don't want to go, the one of our brother's great thinker has told us what this represents also, going into a new thing and right and approach many other subjects on the issue. But I just wanted to say that on this day, that don't let others who really understand the sacred principles of this religion and building, architectural, building cities and direction of traffic, direction of what Islam has done in terms of the word, what it has done in the public form, not just the masjid, what it has done for the public, the movement of people, the movement of justice, the movement of equality, the movement and progression of life, not just human life, but life. And getting that out and making you only concentrate on the other issue, the spiritual side. The only concentrate on that issue and thinking you got the complete message. I say to you, brothers and sisters, wake up. I say to you that the time is now, New Africa now. We have shirts that we haven't, we on sale, and our New Africa now. But the concept, I want you to realize that this is not some spooked out teaching. This is something that's coming alive. This is coming alive. And it will be a safe haven. It will be a way where the intellect will also be invited. You don't want to just build something with our hands and fists with no plan. The treaty, the pen is mightier than the sword. So the treaties for our neighborhood, the rules for our neighborhood will be invited. The way we conduct ourselves should be invited. What we won't tolerate in the neighborhood, from crime to corruption, the way we would deal with it should be invited. See, so we have that right as free people. First and foremost, you're free. But you also are human and Muslims and Christians. I say that because I include my Christian brothers and sisters. You, many of you have that right to follow your book. And especially African-American who have a right to control and this burden, to recreate this burden of these ghettos. Actually, symbolically show of people who have no knowledge of self, have lost their way in the world. And it's not our, we know it's not all our fault. But you know what? We can't sit here and you know, just look at sports. I know most of you like sports, and that's why I'll leave it off on sports. But a lot of you guys like sports. And then every time you're watching sports, you notice the team that starts losing when they start putting blame on each other. Who did this? Why this was done? What happened? Who messed up the pass? And when they start playing that kind of game, they lose the game. Though it's true. Though the guy might have messed up a bad pass, gave a bad bounce pass. When they start taking responsibility for their own life and their own game, they say, you know, hey, we was down by 20, but we came back. We were sloppy. We realized we did pull up our pants. So that's the same way I'm talking to African-Americans now, but I'm also talking to American society, that this time now where we have to roll up our sleeves, look at the problem. I'm not telling you, I'm an African-American. I'm never going to tell my people to not look at the effects of slavery. But I'm saying that it's a time now where we must not just put blame and sit back and just speak on the street corner, speak in the message, and say, you know what, they really messed us up, man. We ain't doing nothing. You know, they really got it going. They destroyed our life. They destroyed us. We these imams in this community, they ain't doing it. Well, we know that, brother. But let's now exercise our own body on the freedom, and that gets back to our equality right. Now, the equality is you must see not only that the, you know, prior to the civil rights movement in general, we were marching to be equal to the European, the white man. We were marching to be equal. Now, that right was much respected. And it still should be respected. We still should understand through law, through the treaty, through the doctrine that the prophet talked about, the pen, the constitution, the scripture, that we see that all men are created equal. As this is where we have resolved the scripture. But it's not our burden. It wasn't just our creation. It was our burden. So we had the burden of hand. We had the burden of being outside of not being accepted by us. So this created, like our brother Sharif talked about on recently, this creates like a pimp. The ability to prove to the guy, I'm equal.
So now if it's coming from that angle, this could be a psychological, it could be damaging. Because it's not really coming from the ability to see myself as equal. It may be coming from my ability to have and approve that I'm equal. So in honor of Elijah Muhammad, introduce the psychology. And remember the key word as a doctor, psychology. That not only am I equal, I'm better. Now, what I think he was saying was that I'm better than this perception that you had given my people. I was not made by man-made laws. I was made by divine laws. So if I'm made by man's laws, then I'm only trying to catch up to man's law. And I'm only trying to find how did your law, and that's what we still argue with in these small circles. We argue which came for Europe or Greek and Rome or Egypt. And based on which one is had more light, which that's the better people, that's the more divine people. So this is an argument been going on for a minute. But we see that really, through the Quran, morality is at test. We learn to be better, not better by no birthright, by no color. We're seen to be better by our ethics, by our moral nature, really. By the way we are in the treatment of each other. So the Nation of Islam wasn't that they treated, no, the brothers didn't treat each other, or even go to European, the white neighborhoods and treat others bad. Most Europeans said, whoa, those brothers are clean, sharp, and treat each other well and so respectful. Malcolm, when he did a report, when Malcolm did a interview, he was so respectful to that interviewer. Commanded respect, but he didn't disrespect him to the point where they kept wanting Brother Malcolm back. Elijah Muhammad, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, saying the man broke down, he would have others visit his house from Arabs to Europeans, and they would be given fine plates, visitors. Yes. So I want you, brothers and sisters, to represent that today, a new Africa, that bring that back. Bring that respect back. I know you have the meat. Well, give me that lettuce also, in symbolic terms. But bring back that healthy appetite to respect each other and love each other. To talk to others even that have different views and viewpoints. This is the equality piece. To talk to your mate and your wife with renewed eyes. To not be burdened by the ribs, mythology, language, myth language, myth of governments, myth of civilizations. Okay? So we want to see equality living in our neighborhood in New Africa. We want to see be able to get jobs. I've created, all praise due to God, 25 jobs. But that's not enough. That 25 can't celebrate. That 25 can't create. It is a start, you know, in my area and abroad of New York, New area, you know. Security, but it has to be much more than 25. 25 can't save this nation, but 25 people can save the world. You know, so we want to have more good news, more equality. But we don't want a small clique in the masjid, small clique controlling. No, that's not what we're saying here, brothers and sisters. We don't want to see a small group of us progress and the rest of us out. The imam controls everything in the neighborhood. We should be in an inviting spirit. And we also, to do this, to be equal, you must compete to all that's good. And what I mean by that, to be equal, well, others use race, right? We use this word race. And for us, because we've been denied that right, I was telling you a little bit earlier, we look at race as very, it's almost a word, I think it's a word that needs to be studied when we study effects of slavery. there's really no such thing in a sense of race, but in the way where I'm going to use race, because most of us have an ethnic identity, we don't even really have what you say race in the sense of this, but let's use this word. Well, when we say race, most of us, we were taught so much little knowledge of self and kind and history and all those good things, math and games to play with each other to even preserve our traditions and teaching, that when we talk, we were made to seem ugly and we were made to seem unnatural, spooks. So when we talk now and we come into religion with a healthy sense of many of us say, oh, man, Ken, oh, man, don't talk that. Don't talk that. Don't say you're New Africa. Don't say you're Balawians. Don't say you're African-American to the point where I put Raven Simone to show you what many of us think. But when we really get to the root of it, this race word, many of the people, even African-Americans who are going to these other schools are black and Afrocentric and I'm black and proud. They only talk competition with the white European. So they're hurt. They don't understand what race means. While the other groups of the world are racing with each other. School, like Ayman Alford always says, is a big race. You have students from India in the exchange students. Now look, they're not fighting each other. Not in school in Duke or University trying to destroy it. But they're in their groups, in their sections, benefiting off of education, challenging education sometimes, putting up their own schools, but challenging each other and who will come to the outside world with equality. So America is winning right now because it invites more and more people of the world, but it's also losing. There's many other places in the world that are inviting international students and adding benefit to their great country in the race, China. So stop telling your African-American kids that they're competing with the white European. And he's losing. I believe, the mathematics and science scores, I don't want to give you the wrong information, but I believe they finished 22nd. It was only about five or six nations did worse than them. So if we keep all our attention, like the pimp, on trying to prove that we're equal or like you, then what happens in the real sense of identity and equality? We lose that equality. We lose what God has made for us to be and who to become, our best self. So I want to end the broadcast as to see yourself in a race for humanity and good. Not a race in bad. Not a race with bombs. Not a race looking forward to destroy each other off the planet Earth. A race to increase everyone's human worth. A race to increase social responsibility of human, but you must respond to that for your group. No fool, no one else of us exploitation will may do it, but no other group will take a person who hasn't proved himself worthy. And you must prove yourself worthy by what you did at your home. You can't teach a village on how to take care of children if your children is in the streets. You can't go in conferences about real estate if you ain't never made no real estate deals, because it's all theory. So we want to take this New Africa out of theory and let us build. I'm calling for 10,000 members. Maybe next show we're making a historical announcement. Hope you follow us at Savior's Day. But we have got the manpower, we've got the educational field. We are going to build our school system. Stop ignoring Clyde Muhammad schools. Build it. Teach the man what he gave us. Teach that in the schools. The children are waiting for it. Stop playing with it. Because it wasn't established by some people, don't make an excuse. Don't make a crutch, like we explained earlier. of making excuses. But it, other, you know, for all those that are not from Muslim private community, what I would say private schools, we know knowledge is being made public. Also, carry the tradition about people forward. Look at Booker T. Washington and great leaders that we had among us who challenged that right. We will never get what we want out of society equally if we do not come into the reality of rights equally, to feed ourselves equally, to clothe ourselves equally, to build equally. But you must have an educational structure that preserves. See, reason why I want to finish this educational piece up with equality, another E word, because it's not that a public school is bad. It's not that it's all wicked. Like a brother said a long ago on the show, just like having a public toilet. You know, I don't mind having going to, when I'm on the road, I have to go. Sometimes emergency, we have to go to the public toilet. But 98% of the time, I'm loving the fact that I have my own toilet at my house. I'm not in the shelter. Don't have to go. So we look at these extreme situations, and we're not here to destroy it. But we're not here to say, as free people, that we don't have that right. Freedom, justice, equality. So we want those rights. So when you look at other groups, such as the Mormons and other groups, the Catholic groups that we do great in the faith work with, we have to see our people as a people came over slavery together. Whether you're Christian, or you're Jewish, but we as Muslims, we want to tell a whole group, New Africa, Monday, that we are preserving your life also. We don't want to eat no filth. We want our children to eat any filth. We want our schools to be educated by great leaders and thinkers we have had. We want to study our heroes. We want to study those who have made our conscience rise. We don't want to just be influenced. We want to be able to influence. And I told you, once again, that if your child doesn't even understand that African-American invented to help the internet come out and the light bulb, what kind of education are we really putting them in? And I want you to challenge all private schools, including ours. Just because he says, oh, a Muslim school, doesn't mean that's a good school. But we need parents, children, teachers, all those to get more evolved. Involved. I told you, this religion is not a spectator sport. Religion means alive. And those who are sent back will be asked on the day of judgment, what did you do? What did you do? Don't tell me what this one did. Don't just give me what Honorable Elijah Muhammad did, unless it's for education purposes. What are you going to do? What are you going to say to me, even what Imam W.D. Muhammad, our great leader, did? I know what he did. You could Google that. What are you going to do with what he did? The guy, the map is great, Carl, and your ability to use the map. We're looking at this map 100 years, but are you going to get in your car? So just like the architect, the Imam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, were like great architects and able builders. But we say they're great, they gave us great blueprints. What are we going to do? And we are going to do it. Goodness is on the rise, but brothers and sisters, let's use those freedoms. I mentioned this broadcast, play it over, because I put it together for your work, your benefit. I didn't just say this out. So let's just start with these formats, and let's stop having a bunch of meetings without the guidance mentioned in the broadcast. we should always come to some type of consensus for the next meeting. We don't just want to throw ideas out. Most of the things I'm seeing with Ferguson and African-Americans in general, it's a bunch of releasing, and I respect it. You know, we need to release. Matter of fact, that's why most of us need a psychologist. But we don't have to have a traditional psychologist, what we say. Just need a healing process. Sometimes music is a healing process. Sometimes working out is a healing process. But we need some type of healing process, because most of us come to meetings that should be about production, and we come with that healing. And that's why most of our cities are sick. But I did want to say on this edition, it's 7:30. I thank you for a beautiful, and I have the knowledge of brother we have on that I want to keep him. I'm trying to work these lines. I deleted him last time. But on New Africa Mondays, I just want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you are in the middle of the best time, in the beginning, I would say, of a new, and I'm not, I know many of us say we're crazy, you know, but even I could look at my life and just say, wow, so much good is happening. But we need to become more responsible. This will not change for me. It's my Uncle Dahl, your brother. Won't change. We have many guests coming, the ones that are even here. But we want to become more responsible, and this, our community, is very important. African-American education is very important. The education that's not prevalent in our neighborhood is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. But there's a solution for it. There's a solution for it. Rules, business is a priority, but you business leaders listening, you won't be anything without education. And study the model. Once I got you, I was talking about the freedoms earlier, of the business relationship with the educational community. This is why most of your schools got job fairs. Now, if they couldn't communicate with the businesses, what would be the point for IBM to be at Hampton University or Howard University or Harvard University for recruits? But let me let you know, just like I told you about that private right of businesses, that you're always going to get the short end of the stick for those jobs. So we encourage many of our membership and people to go to IBM. I'm not saying that, but we need to create our own IBM, New Africa Mondays. I greet you with great greetings of peace. Peace be unto you, to our honorable, noble audience. You're listening to another edition of Religion Means Alive, and you can retweet this broadcast, try to get it out. You could go on Blog Talk Radio. We'll give a link later on. But you could just tell everyone that, you know, pay attention to what we're doing here. And this show is a reflection of many other movements that we're doing in trade, import-export, security, in real estate, revitalization projects in big cities like Baltimore, New York, Harlem, and we're on the rise. We cannot be stopped now. Thank you for listening to another edition of Religion Means Alive.